The Web That Has No Weaver, Understanding Chinese Medicine, page 243, East and West Reconsidered. At this point, the nature of the difference between the perception of Eastern medicine and biomedicine needs to be re-examined. In Chapter 1, it was demonstrated in a very simple way that six patients suffering from ulcer could be perceived quite differently by Chinese and Western doctors. This illustrated the fact that a single Western disease entity may become various diagnoses of medical disharmonies within the framework of East Asian medicine. Now let us take a closer look at the actual study of the 65 gastric ulcer patients from which six patients were chosen as examples. All of these patients had theoretically identical diseases in the terms of biomedicine. About half of the 65 Chinese diagnoses cited various spleen disharmonies, which is deficiency, dampness, cold, etc. While the rest pointed to stomach and liver disharmonies. None of the patients was described as having a lung or kidney disharmony. Thus, the diagnosis of that biomedical entity did not yield a totally random sample of Chinese medical disharmonies. From the universe of a possible Chinese diagnosis, the single Western diagnosis of gastric ulcer was paralleled by a few specific clusters of disharmony patterns. If this experiment had been reversed and a number of patients, all diagnosed by a Chinese physician as manifesting the same pattern of disharmony, had been seen by a Western physician, several distinct Western disease entities would be diagnosed. However, a high incidence of certain specific clusters of diseases would emerge. Although there are no one-to-one correspondences between Chinese and Western diagnosis, a type of correlation can indeed be found. This correlation may be demonstrated by using the pattern of deficient spleen qi as an example. This pattern is associated with such signs as chronic fatigue, lack of motivation and desire, appetite disorder, poor digestion, watery stool, abdominal distension, pale tongue material with thin white moss, and empty pulse. If a larger group of patients with this disharmony were looked at from a Western perspective, depending on where recruitment occurred, maybe half of them would be diagnosed as having chronic gastrointestinal disorders such as gastroenteritis, ulcers, or nervous stomach. A significant number would be thought to have chronic hepatitis, hemorrhoids, amenorrhea, anemia, and various bleeding disorders. A smaller percentage would be diagnosed as having major depressive disorder, chronic fatigue disorder, and degenerative neuromuscular disorders. It would be unlikely that any of the patients exhibiting deficient spleen qi would be discovered to have acute urinary infections, glaucoma, or pleurisy. Another example is the pattern of liver fire, the signs of which may include red face, red eyes, scanty, dark urine, constipation, severe headaches, and/or ringing in the ears. Anger and frequent episode of rage, nausea, or vomiting. Red tongue material with yellow moss and wiry, full, and fast pulse. In Western terms, people with this pattern might be diagnosed as having hypertension, migraine, atherosclerosis, acute conjunctivitis, glaucoma, and other eye disorders, or acute hepatitis, with a smaller percentage thought to have bleeding disorders and urogenital infections. Some would be considered psychiatric patients. Liver fire patterns would probably not be associated with such Western diseases as chronic gastrointestinal disorders, tuberculosis, pernicious anemia, or dysentery. In different Chinese patterns, some of the same Western medical categories can exist. For instance, in both the deficient spleen qi and the liver fire patterns, hepatitis and hemolytic disorders would be likely Western diagnosis. It can be seen that a large group of patients with a particular Chinese pattern would frequently encompass a cluster of several biomedical disease entities, producing a statistical correspondence of large groups rather than any one-to-one correspondences. This kind of statistical grouping results from large group comparisons because, although the two systems imply different understandings of health, disease, diagnosis, and treatment, they nonetheless deal with the same body. There is an overlap in which some of the bodily functions and locations, as perceived by East and West, are at same time comparable, or at least mutually recognizable. And both systems rely on internally consistent frames of reference. This statistical correlation has been noted in China, especially during the last 50 years, when many patients have been diagnosed by the two systems consecutively or simultaneously. The implications and nature of the diagnosis provided by each system are always different. The Chinese diagnosis is refined by understanding how the disharmony embraces the other organs and the entire human being, while the Western diagnosis is refined by isolating an exact cause or a precise pathological process. On the simple level, the correlation between Chinese and biomedicine do not help in formulating correct treatment. You cannot merely look up a diseases and its treatment in one system and then find an analog in the other. Nevertheless, amid the strange-sounding formulation of Chinese diagnosis, the correlations, especially of somatic diseases, may help readers familiar with biomedicine to orient themselves. Further exploration of these correlations may open up an avenue for deeper biomedical research into Chinese medicine. The following discussion of disharmony patterns of the organs will include statistical correlations with Western diseases that are indicated in clinical reports, studies, and medical texts produced in the People's Republic of China. Patterns of organ disharmony. Describing patterns of disharmony in terms of the organs that are involved is the next step in refining the understanding of disharmony. Patterns of disharmony involving particular organs are primarily an elaboration of the eight principal patterns, the pattern of qi and blood disharmonies, and the pattern of pernicious influences. These basic patterns are then refined and made specific by the addition of signs and symptoms alluded to in the earlier discussion of organs. The patterns of organ disharmony are not, however, mechanically generated by logical principles, but represent the way in which tradition has modified theory throughout centuries of clinical practice. For example, although the lungs can have deficient yang, such a pattern is not generally discussed in the medical literature. In practice, deficient yang of the lungs is seen as deficient lung qi in combination with deficient kidney yang. Practice determines the reality of the clinical category. The patterns of organ disharmony presented here are the basic, most common patterns of disharmony in clinical Chinese medicine. It's far from being all-inclusive. Spleen disharmonies. The spleen rules transmutation and is an essential focus for the transformative dynamic of qi in human life. The spleen allows food to become the textures and activities of human life and is responsible for the creative change in life. The spleen is about engagement, possibilities, and creativity. Li Zhongyuan, one of the greatest physicians in Chinese history, described the spleen qi as giving human beings the power to meet pleasurable affairs, encounter the environment as balmy and suitable, find food agreeable and tasty, see desirable and lovable things, and make a person intelligent and alert. Splingy is a zest that moves life. Splingy's harmony can have two aspects, deficient or excess. Deficiency has to do with insufficient qi. Excess has to do with the accumulation of dampness. Sometimes, the spleen has both deficiency and excess together. Patterns of deficient spleen qi and deficient spleen yang. The pattern of deficient spleen qi is associated with such spleen-specific signs as appetite disorders, slight abdominal pain, and distension that are relieved by touching, which is insufficient qi to move food, and loose stools, which is insufficient qi to complete digestion. If the consciousness of potentials is affected, the person can have poor motivation, lack excitement, be bored, be despondent, or avoid activities that were once pleasurable. He or she is not interested in the world nor engaged in creative transformation. In addition, there are the other signs of deficient qi, primarily the lethargy, lack of dynamic tension, a pale tongue with a thin white mouth, and an empty pulse. From this pattern, Western physicians might diagnose gastric or duodenal ulcers, gastritis, hepatitis, chronic dysentery, anemia, or psychiatric disorders, including major depressive disorders. The pattern of deficient spleen yang is a deeper and more serious disharmony than that of the deficient spleen qi. It is associated with signs of the appearance of cold, especially cold limbs, swollen, moist, pale tongue, and slow febrile pulse. Also, certain of the spleen-specific signs will be more extreme or cold in nature. For instance, watery stools containing undigested food and abdominal distension or pain that respond favorably to heat as well as pressure. The consciousness of potentials might exhibit lack of resolution or defeatism. Deficient spleen yang may also affect the movement of water in the body, producing such symptoms as edema, difficulty in urination, and leukorrhea. Patients with deficient spleen yang might be diagnosed in the West as having such chronic diseases as gastric or duodenal ulcers, gastritis, enteritis, hepatitis, dysentery, nephritis, or psychiatric disorders. A spleen yang pattern can merge with a kidney yang disharmony. Pattern of spleen qi sinking. The dynamic aspect of qi is responsible for holding things in place. Stability may require the effort of tension. Deficient spleen qi and deficient spleen yang occur when the qi cannot perform its function or retaining things in their proper place. This pattern is also sometimes called middle burner collapsing. In addition to the signs of deficient spleen qi and deficient spleen yang, this pattern displays signs associated with falling, such as hemorrhoids, prolapse of the uterus, extreme chronic diarrhea, or urinary incontinence. If the consciousness of potential is affected, there can be an exaggerated sense of disability, mislabeled somatic sensations, or converting inconvenience into catastrophe. Pattern of spleen unable to govern the blood. This is another subcategory of deficient spleen qi or yang, occurring when the yang qi of the spleen cannot hold the blood in place. Various kind of chronic bleeding result. Blood in the stool, bloody nose, chronic subcutaneous hemorrhaging, excessive menses, or uterine bleeding. These symptoms are generally accompanied by other signs of deficiency. If hemorrhaging were accompanied by signs of excess or heat, it would of course be interpreted differently, probably as hot blood. In biomedicine, the pattern of spleen unable to govern the blood would commonly appear as functional uterine bleeding, bleeding hemorrhoids, hemophilia, or Henoch-Schönlein-Lehn pupil. Pattern of dampness distressing the spleen. Dampness is accumulations that a spleen has not successfully moved from one state of being to another. One can say that dampness is an incomplete transformation, the unfinished creation of the spleen. Dampness is a possibility of change and creativity that, instead of going from one state to another, has instead piled up and created a kind of stagnant or swampy pool. Food that is incompletely transformed sits and becomes the physical aspect of dampness, causing distension and bloat. Ideas get stuck and become the worry aspect of dampness. The spleen is said to like dryness and dislike dampness. The spleen likes clarity, definition, and a distinct movement from one state of being to another. Dampness has unclear borders and imprecise boundaries. Dampness is what happens when the possibility of transmutation becomes the burden of unfinished deep business. Dampness distressing the spleen produces signs and characteristics that can resemble deficient spleen. The main difference is that they are marked by a sense of heaviness and clutter. On a physical level, dampness may be indicated by such signs as appetite disorders, sticky watery stool, nausea, and a feeling of fullness in the abdomen or head, or skin eruptions containing fluids. On a psychological level, dampness is indicated by excessive worry, ruminations, feeling of being trapped by multiple good possibilities, indecision, having many unfinished projects, procrastination, inability to make clear distinctions, or even clean one's room, excessively taking care of others without the ability to take care of themselves. If fatigue is present in damp pattern, it often does not hinder the performance of work, especially for others, but it has a sense of heaviness and weariness. Dampness often results from deficient spleen being unable to perform its transformative work. If this happens, it's an example of deficiency turning into excess. Because the signs can sometimes be similar, the pulse and tongue may be critical in discerning the difference. A slippery or soggy pulse and a thick, greasy tongue moss are then important signs of dampness. Sometimes, both deficient and excess spleen exist at the same time. This can present a diagnostic challenge that requires skill, experience, and attention to detail to decide whether yin or yang dominates. In Western terms, this pattern might translate into chronic gastroenteritis. Enteritis, chronic dysentery, chronic hepatitis, or various obsessive compulsive disorders. External dampness obstructing. This pattern is similar to the preceding one, although much less common, and occurs when dampness is an external pernicious influence. The spleen is affected, and the same signs of dampness distress are present. In addition, this pattern tends to be relatively acute, characterized by sudden onset and, occasionally, a low fever. Damp heat collecting in the spleen. Dampness and cold are both in, and so dampness patterns are likely to manifest signs of cold. However, dampness can also be hot, and if heat signs are present, a distinct, common pattern may be perceived. Although damped heat collecting in the spleen is usually the result of an external pernicious influence, this pattern is also associated with eating fatty food and excessive alcohol consumption. The signs of dampness will be present as well as the signs of heat, and the movement of bile can be obstructed, causing jaundice and a bitter taste in the mouth. A Western physician examining a patient with a pattern of damp heat collecting in the spleen might diagnose acute gastric inflammation, acute hepatic infection, cholecystitis, or cirrhosis of the liver. Because dampness is in and heat is young, one would have to determine in a clinical situation whether the pattern were yin within yang or yang within yin. That is, which element is dominant. Table 8 suggests some criteria and is presented as an example of the need to make nuanced shades in a clinical perception. Patterns of mucus. The spleen is said to be the mother of mucus. Mucus is a kind of concentrated cooked dampness. Mucus is heavier and more obstructive than dampness. Mucus resembles dampness, but its symptomology is more severe and more likely to have a fixed location. Mucus in the stool, relatively soft, mobile swelling, lumps or tumors, such as goiter, lymphadenopathy, and sebaceous cysts, and a phlegm cough can all be signs of mucus. Mucus in the consciousness of the potential makes a person feel deeply confused and mentally blocked. Ruminations get fixed on the particular ideas, and in the extreme, a person becomes unconnected to reality. A greedy, thick-tongued mouth and a very slippery pulse are often important signs of mucus. Turbid mucus disturbing the head is a common mucus pattern that especially affects the head. Rather than a feeling of heaviness in the head, the patient suffers from severe dizziness. The room can be spinning or this person feel like falling. In Western terms, this pattern is often part of such disorders as hypertension and Meniere's disease. Clinical sketch. A patient in the author's practice complained of chronic abdominal distension and discomfort, tiredness, and a feeling of heaviness. He had a sallow complexion and slow, friendly, phlegmatic ambience. He was comfortable in his work and relationships. His tongue was slightly pale with a very thick, greasy mouth, and his pulse was very empty. The Western doctors this patient had consulted diagnosed his condition as a nervous stomach. The signs of distension and heaviness pointed to the pattern of dampness distressing the spleen, which was confirmed by that greasy coating on the tongue. The empty pulse, on the other hand, pointed to the pattern of deficient spleen qi. The pattern of dampness distressing the spleen and the pattern of deficient qi are part of a continuum between two textbook points. This patient fell somewhere in between. He manifested the aspect of both. He could be described as having the pattern of deficient qi turning into dampness distressing the spleen, a deficiency turning into an excess, or vice versa. The treatment was to strengthen the spleen qi, supplementing the deficiency, and to expel and disperse dampness, removing the pernicious influence. The relative amount of tonification and dispersion that needs to be done in any one case by herbs or acupuncture needles depends on the relative amounts of deficiency and excess present. That is, on the exact proportions of the patient's unique signs. In fact, the most precise description of the patient's patterns is the exact combination of acupuncture points and herbs used. The cause, the deficient qi that leads to dampness, is not treated. Instead, the physician treats the approximate pattern generated at the moment by the patient's particular configuration of manifesting signs. There is no diagnosis, only the patient-physician encounter and therapeutic response. Hopefully, the patient is helped. In this case, a series of 10 acupuncture treatments and the use of herbs led to complete relief of the symptoms. The tongue greasiness disappeared, but the pulse remained somewhat empty, pointing to a constitutional tendency towards this disharmony.